Hello, everyone, and welcome to your favourite colour and decorating podcast, Let's Colour. I'm Marianne Shillingford.
And I'm Steph King. And thank you so much for joining us again for the fifth episode of this series, which is all about what we're going to call micro makeovers.
And who doesn't love a before and after? Whether it's makeup or hair, full body or full living room, it's the transformation that gets us all glued to Instagram, Pinterest, and of course, our TV sets.
And it's where we get most of our inspiration from, seeing other people who have taken on a challenge and done something incredible with a single room or a whole house.
So we'll be exploring exactly this in our colour lookbook segment today. We'll be discussing some fabulous ways that you can make a big impact with even the smallest amount of time and effort. With changing rooms on the horizon, it's fair to say that Steph and I have been glued to everything that features a makeover. We've done a fair few in our homes at the moment, as well as in our day jobs.
And we aren't stopping there on this topic of speedy makeovers. So with that in mind, we've decided to call up a couple of contestants from a programme we have all been glued to. Interior Design Masters, of course.
Today we're going to speak to John and Charlotte of Interior Design Masters. We have been completely addicted to this programme lately.
We want to ask them what it was like to pull something amazing out of the bag week after week in front of an audience of millions. They made it look so easy, but I'm absolutely sure there are many stories to tell there.
Absolutely. And we want to know how it felt facing the scrutiny of a fierce panel of the best interior designers on the planet, including our bestie mate, Sir Lawrence Llewellyn Boehm himself.
Then, of course, as ever, we'll admit some of our listeners into the Dr. Dulux surgery and recommend some of those remedies for their decorating dilemmas.
And of course, to finish up, we'll leave you with a feel-good colour story, proving to you just how much a bit of colour can make life better.
We are really packing it in this week, aren't we? Gosh, what an episode. Couldn't squeeze more in there if we tried. So better crack on. So, Marianne, it's been a while since we've heard from each other, actually. It's been a funny few weeks for us, hasn't it? I see you every day, usually, and it's been a bit of a funny one. So tell me what you've been up to. Anything nice for Easter that you want to impart?
Easter was just lovely. It was just a lovely break. Really nice to, and you know, just to get outside, eat loads of chocolate. Lovely excuse to do all of that. And and one of the things I've been working on over the past few weeks is diving into archives and looking at period decorating from the 60s, 70s, 30s, 40s. And that's just been absolutely brilliant. I've had such fun. And because we're talking about makeovers, when I was looking at makeovers, you know, when changing rooms first came out, it was all about the theme, you know, the theme when you were kind of like trying to get a look. And the 80s theme is quite big at the moment. So I was looking into what it looked like, what the 80s theme looked like. And it was brilliant. All of these amazing textures, you know, when mohair cord and all of these amazing things came through and this really lovely soft focus creams. And so I've been sort of having a bit of a nostalgia trip in the last last few weeks, because we haven't seen each other, have we, a lot? No.
No, not really. Not really. We've been in those archives by the sounds of it, locked away in your archives, having a good old dig around. I can only imagine what you found on decorating in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Like, were there any highlights for you that you to divulge?
Well, it's the 70s. I really love the 70s. I love this kind of bright, vibrant, amazing sort of plastic colours, oranges and yellows. It's the kind of that captures. When you think back to the 70s and you think like materials like cork and perspex, and everything was just bright, shiny, new. And if you imagine a room, you walked into a room and there would be a slight crackle because everything was plastic, you know. You'd get this, your clothes would stick to the walls because there'd be some sound of static going on. And I was looking at some of the pictures, and it's the clothes that all of the models in the room sets are wearing. They are just amazing. Show them to my girls, and they were like, "Oh, Mum, it's so cool!
It's
so cool!
Vintage, still vintage. Got,
yeah, it's yeah. so vintage." And so that's really nice because I remember it. I remember it as a child, and it's nice seeing it through other people's eyes, and they look at it, and it's quite cool. But it's honestly, kids was not cool.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I can imagine. I don't think, you know, maybe wallpaper borders are coming back anytime soon. That's what I remember.
Absolutely
from the 80s and 90s.
Not.
Oh, well, you never know. Let's find out when Changing Rooms comes back at the end of this year.
Absolutely. So. Hey, I wonder if there'll be a theme on the 70s. I hope there is, because that'll be good fun.
Fingers crossed.
Anyway, Steph, how about you? I know you're moving house. How are you getting on?
Oh, God. Right. So it is going Okay, in fact, I should be more optimistic. I am on a house selling mission, people. So I have, thanks to good old Mr. Sunak, we have decided to accelerate our house plans. We have sold our house, but we are trying to find a new place to live. So time is of the essence. Please write in with your suggestions of places that I could, in fact, live. So because we are struggling to find something. And I tell you what the reason is. Actually, we talked about this on an episode recently where I just think where we've all been in our homes for so long, we just demand so much more of them. So, you know, when we're looking around various different houses and places that we've seen, you know, you're kind of mentally checking off, you know, is this outside space got all of the things that I need? You know, suddenly we need those separate bedroom spaces for everybody in the home. We need, you know, a multifunctional kitchen and dining space. We need a home office space that both me and my husband can work. And actually trying to find all of that is really tough. So, yeah. So I don't know. Come back to me in June and I may well still be homeless. Who knows? Might have to come and live with you. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I've got a spare room. It looks like a jungle.
Kids would love it. How about I just send the kids to you?
Oh, yeah, I'd love that.
And I'll just stay in an Airbnb.
Honestly, Steph, I really seriously would love that. Send the kids. You stay. I don't want you. Send the kids.
Oh, fair enough. Deal. Look, you've all heard it. This is like a verbal agreement you've just heard on the podcast. Yes. So that's kind of where we are. Exciting, but yeah, it's definitely stressful trying to find, you know, something that fits our new flexible lifestyle, let's say. Keep your fingers crossed for me, listeners, please, because I might have to be moving in with some of you. But hey, who knows?
So this neatly opens the first page of our colour lookbook. Okay, shall we get started on today's show then, Steph?
Yes. So let's open that colour lookbook, shall we? This is the part of the show where we take a good look at a colour, a trend, or a theme in the world of decorating that everyone is talking about. And at the moment, in this episode, we are turning our attention to makeovers. So smallish changes that you can make in your home that can have a big impact.
And it seems that the whole nation are craving home makeovers in their lives right now, as we've seen a huge increase in the number of fantastic TV shows based around interiors recently. I have been glued to my set. Steph, what have you been watching?
I too have been glued to the TV recently because you're right, there are just so many options all of a sudden. I know we went through this big TV show revival, a good, you know, in the changing rooms era, in fact, where we had changing rooms and House Doctor and, you know, all of those like lovely series, 60 Minute Makeover. And it just seems we're having so many more of those recently. So, of course, we've already touched upon it. I have been glued to Interior Design Masters. Have you been watching, Marianne?
Yes. I'm so excited for our guests today.
I know. I'm properly fangirling about it as well. I've really, really enjoyed some of the briefs that they've had and some of the kind of colour combinations. And yeah, I just think that some of the designs have been really, really standout and it's been really a joy to watch and just kind of see people talking about interiors and what's possible with just a bit of paint and technique here and there. So I've really enjoyed that.
What I've also liked, actually, I have to admit, the dark side of it, the stress, when people crack under stress and you know what that's like and you think,
spend some tears.
Yeah, you remind yourself, nobody dies in decorating, but I think they get hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that is part of the entertainment of the show, isn't it? There's always something that goes wrong or, you know, someone, you know, cries about something that's, you know, spilled all over the carpet or there's definitely been a bit of that. So I have kind of enjoyed that aspect too. And of course, also one of my favourite ones at the moment, Your Garden Made Perfect. Oh. I don't know if you've watched that one, Marianne, but I absolutely love it because I am not a garden aficionado at all because my heart and my soul is in interiors. So I look at my piece of grass that I'll call my garden and it's fairly uninspirational, I have to say. I've got a few pots here and there with some bulbs in and I've got a bit of a veg patch going, but that is pretty much it. Like, I have no vision when it comes to garden. So the premise of this show, of course, when they put on their virtual reality glasses and their dream garden just springs out in front of them, How amazing is that? I want that.
Oh, I love that. I love that. It's funny because one of the, I was brought up, you know, on a nursery, and my dad always used to talk about the size of how big the plants were growing. My mum would do that as well. And they would plant these, she would create a new border, plant this little plant in the middle of, you know, in the middle of nothing. And you'd go, oh, that looks terrible. And then suddenly, you know, by the end of the season, it was huge. And I've started to do that now. I am nearly 60 years old, and I've finally worked out that plants actually grow quite big. I'm a complete maximalist in the garden. And the idea of that virtual reality, I love it. I'm going to tune into that, Steph.
It's a brilliant one.
You were also talking about Flat Out Fabulous on BBC Three, all about renters.
I have discovered this.
I love this.
Yeah, the concept is brilliant. So, you know, there are a huge amount of people in this country that rent. And we shouldn't forget about that because, you know, it is, of course, you know, a huge part of the population that live in a home. And of course, they want to make their flat fabulous. So yeah, Flat Out Fabulous. This is a BBC Three show, which is all about how to make exactly as it sounds, flats fabulous. Particularly aimed, of course, at that renting part of the market. So really enjoyed watching that episode, which is currently on BBC Three. So definitely recommend going and watching that if this is your thing.
There was another one. You were talking Hire My Home on Channel 4.
Love this. Honestly, I've got all the tips. I've got all the tips on house programmes. I could go into Netflix ones as well if you like, but no, we haven't got time for that. No, Hire My Home. I love this one. This one is all about designers transforming holiday lets into these kind of dream staycation locations, and this is brilliant too, because, you know, a lot more people are doing things like this, whether it's renting out their, you know, their home, or living in a rented home, I should say, or it's turning your home into something that can be rented in this kind of Airbnb type way. You know, lots more people buying into that. Obviously not at the moment with the old COVID, but in the future, one day, I'm sure we will be let out to be able to do this. And it's a really interesting mindset that you have to get yourself in when you're decorating. Of course, you know, if you're having people to stay. So it's been really, really good seeing what the designers and those spaces turn into.
It's lovely. The inspiration has never been so rich, I think, out there. And of course, we can't continue without mentioning Changing Rooms, which is coming back.
Of course, I don't know if we've mentioned it.
We are so excited. We keep mentioning it. Changing Rooms. Yeah, honestly, that is going to be, nobody phoned me for that hour, and maybe afterwards when I'm talking to you.
Yeah, literally like the second half of the year, that's all we're going to be thinking about and watching, isn't it, really?
One of the interesting things at work is that you and I get to see data about what people are spending their money on, what they're doing in terms of decorating. And we've seen lots of data that suggests that COVID and being locked down and stuck in our homes, people's attitude to their homes and the things they want from their homes, you know, and their desire to do things and change their homes has increased, has just completely gone through the roof.
It has. That's exactly right. When we often talk to customers, the single biggest thing that they say to us is that I don't have time. Like, why would I decorate? Because I just don't have time in my life to do this. So unless you're going to make it easy for me, or you're going to take away the barrier of time, then, you know, I'd rather buy into something else. So now that we're in this kind of lockdown situation, and that barrier of time has been removed for most people, not everybody, but for most, it's now far easier for people to kind of achieve what it was that they set out. So we're very much seeing that people are taking the opportunity to decorate, because they suddenly have space in their day, or space in their week, or on their weekends to actually do some decorating projects. And the other really interesting thing that we're seeing as a bit of a trend is people have told us that perhaps very deep down in the depths of their stomach somewhere, there is a bit of a longing to kind of want to know more about how to go about the process of decorating as well. So a lot of particularly the younger demographic are, and I don't think this is just for decorating either, this is across lots of different categories. There is this desire to learn and to be empowered, and to, you know, kind of be educated on something and take the time to be a bit more educated. So, you know, whether that's colour schemes, whether that's how to apply products, or even what products to use. So I definitely think there's that theme going on as well.
Yeah, no, my daughters do phone me up on a weekly basis to ask me, and actually asked me about primers the other day, which is like, you know, job done, tick. Mother, I've been a great mother, asking me about primer, which is brilliant. It's probably why these shows have been so successful recently. I wonder if they've always been there but never been quite successful, because people just want to learn. You know, they're soaking up all of these new skills, all of this new inspiration. And anyway, makes us happy, doesn't it, Steph?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The more people that like this decorating stuff, you know, the better we can get on. So this newfound passion, we hope, of the nation to partake in a bit of decorating is the reason that we wanted to discuss some fabulous ways that you listeners can add a bit of magic into your home. So with that in mind, Marianne, talk to me. What are these fabulous ways that we speak of?
Well, we were talking about this earlier, about the whole kind of makeover thing. Sometimes when people talk about a makeover, it becomes a really big, overwhelming task. You see the stuff on TV and you think, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a new sofa. Yeah. I'm going to have to do this and that. You know, it's like a massive deal.
Yeah.
And that's where your whole, you know, the barrier of, I haven't got time and I haven't got money to do this. But there are some amazing little things you can do. And one of those things is, let's talk about the feature wall.
Yeah.
We talk about the feature wall and maybe the feature wall as a big block of colour, you know, one wall. A big block of colour,
yeah,
is kind of, it's not dead, but it's become something else. And so rather than a feature wall, you can transform a wall by adding some shapes or blocks or doing some geometric shapes. I mean, all you have to do is hit Instagram and look for, you know, alternative feature wall or geometric shapes, and you'll come up with the most fantastic inspiration. And what we do, I mean, what you and I do on a daily basis, is we kind of unpick these amazing transformations just on one wall and make it easy for people to do. So that whole geometric look, just taking one wall or even part of a wall and simply putting a block of colour using some fantastic masking tape, that would completely transform a room. And that would be what I would describe as a mini makeover, a micro makeover that you could do in a few hours.
Definitely. I definitely think there are more interesting and dynamic ways that you can apply colour to your space now, rather than just putting it on the wall that your TV's on, or, you know, the wall that's, you know, your chimney breast or something like that. There are definitely much more interesting and creative ways to use colour to do a specific job.
Steph, I'm just going to tell you about this thing that I saw. Anyway, it's something that we did. We didn't do it, but a stylist did it in the Colour Futures 21, the Colour Futures 21. And it was a beautiful mid-century modern sideboard. And on the sideboard, there was this single cactus. I'm not keen on cactus. I love plants, but no, I'm afraid cactus don't do it for me. However, this cactus was in a white pot, and behind the cactus was a circle of a slightly deeper blue than the wall colour, which was a lovely deep blue. It was just very, very, very subtly different. My goodness, the transformation to that space, your eye was gently drawn to this beautiful circle. The wall was already a dark blue, and the whole space was, it just looked, it was absolutely amazing. We'll share that on the show notes because it's so cool. So these kind of very simple shapes, you might have already decorated the room in a blue or a colour, and then just to add a circle or to add an arch, well, I think that's kind of magic in decorating for me.
It just makes a world of difference, doesn't it? Just adding something that just draws your eye to it. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go and paint, you know, an entire wall. It can just be quite a small area, you know, behind your workspace, or like you say, to frame something in the room that you particularly like, in this case, a cactus, or, well, you don't like a cactus in this particular case, perhaps, but maybe a different kind of plant.
Sorry, cactus.
Yeah, no offence, cactus lovers around the world. But no, completely. I definitely think there's more interesting ways that you can come at the problem of creating features in your home where perhaps there aren't any. And actually, there's this fantastic new product range, which I think we mentioned last time on the podcast as well, but it's worth a mention here again, called Simply Refresh. And this absolutely leans into exactly this issue that we're talking about, which is you don't have time, you don't think you can do the extent of a project that you have as your vision in a weekend or in a day even, or even in a couple of hours. But with this product, you absolutely can do, because not only is it one coat guaranteed, which is amazing because you're spending half the amount of time, but then it also comes in this fantastic feature wall collection, which are these really punchy, bold colours, aren't they? And if you were to just use one of those colours in just a small area, it makes a huge amount of difference.
It is time, isn't it? Time is the most precious commodity we have, and if you can get something done in double double quick time, then that's for me. And also the water-based products. People think, you know, painting skirting boards and upside, you know, painting the colour on a door is going to be really, really difficult. But with quick drying water-based products, they're dead tough.
Have to be.
They don't smell and they dry so quickly. So you can get a couple of coats on in a day and the job's done.
Exactly.
So makeover magic is kind of, I think it's about the practicalities, because if you get the practicalities right, then things don't seem quite overwhelming. Steph, can we talk geometric shapes? Because I've got some top tips here. I've got some top tips to tell you.
Absolutely, we should talk about that, because geometric shapes and all of the things that come with that, whether it's stripes or nice straight lines or colour blocks, very, very trendy right now. So Absolutely. Talk us through, Marianne, some of the practicalities on how you do that. Have you got any tips for us? Have you got any hacks that will make our job easier?
Oh, well, top tip is always, it's always about the masking tape for me, Steph.
True.
I love a masking tape. And I'm going to mention a masking tape brand here. I'm going to mention Frog Tape.
Frog Tape. I love Frog Tape.
Frog Tape.
Yeah.
Frog Tape is designed, or decorator's low tack masking tape. So a decorator's tape that's got a low tack, so it's not too sticky. But Frog Tape is interesting because when you put it on the wall, the glue behind it sort of expands and seals any gaps between the tape and the wall so the paint doesn't creep underneath. It costs a lot of money, but it's worth every penny. And if you've got a really knobbly, bobbly wall, not a lot of money, and a load of masking tape that's just normal, everyday masking tape, to make sure that the paint doesn't seep underneath it, because that's the worst thing about masking tape.
It's the worst thing.
If you pull it off and you're thinking you're going to get this really neat line, and then suddenly you can see all these little knobbly bits, and you're thinking, oh, that's terrible. So what you do is you create your line and then use some of the background colour. So for example, if the wall's painted white, you tape your line and then you paint that white over the edge of the masking tape that you're going to apply the colour to. And what that white does, it seeps, it finds all the little gaps, it seals them up. And when you put another colour over the top and then remove the masking tape, the line between those colours is absolutely drop dead gorgeous. It's so
that
professional
is
and
game changing, I think, right
there. It really is. It really is. I mean, masking tape, you can buy it from the pound shop, but it can be too sticky.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great, but you've got to be really careful. If your walls aren't that good and you start pulling it off, it's very easy to remove quite a lot of plaster when it comes to it. So
and that makes
get
a
good
bigger
masking
job,
tape in.
Makes a bigger job that you have to then go back and fix, which is not something that you want for sure. So
absolutely.
Although I have to say, when we're talking about masking tape, you know, this probably sounds really dull and boring. However, it is so super important. It is an absolute staple to have in your cupboard, isn't it? A really good masking tape. So definitely
spend the
money on that great masking tape if you're going to be investing in these colour blocking techniques, because we've all been there where we've put it on, we've slapped some paint on and we've pulled the masking tape off, and you can see that it's just, you know, all the paint has bled and it just doesn't look as good, does it? So
no,
loving that
when
tip.
That happens.
That's a top hack right there.
Very good. Can I talk string and chalk now?
We are going somewhere today.
Okay,
we
are going somewhere. So
go.
You've got your masking tape. Now you need some string and some chalk and a drawing pin. So string and chalk is amazing for making straight lines on walls so that you can follow them with the masking tape. So if you're doing something like a geometric shape and you're wanting to get that sort of those angles, or you're wanting to just sort of experiment with angles before you actually commit to putting the tape up there, if you've got some kids' coloured chalk and a piece of string, literally you pull the string over the chalk to load the string with chalk. And then you use a drawing pin and tie one of the ends of the string to the drawing pin, stick that into a point on the wall where you want your geometric line to start, literally pull the string tight away from the drawing pin, hold it against the wall, and then pull it and ping it. And when you take the string away, you get this beautiful straight line. And because kids' chalk, if you don't get the line quite right, you can wipe it off and start again. But it's a fantastic way of drawing out shapes, geometric shapes, without sort of before you commit to them. So you can kind of like get the shapes ever so easily. And another thing that you can do with string and chalk is that you can create circles and arches. So with that drawing pin, basically you've got a piece of string and you can put a piece of chalk at the end of it, use your drawing pin in the middle of the place where you want that arch to be, and then pull the string taut and then create an arch or a circle. And if you use a cutting in brush, which is one of those angled brushes, you can get the most gorgeous lines on your arches. We have got how-tos on this, haven't we, Steph?
Absolutely.
So there are little bits on Insta that we can show you, so you can, we'll put those in the show notes as well.
Definitely. Those are some really great tips there. And although, as I said, they sound quite pedestrian, let's say, they are...
What?
I know, sorry, I said it out loud, but I'm just saying what everyone's thinking. We haven't gone crazy. We haven't been in lockdown for too long. We are talking about masking tape and string and chalk, but for very good reasons, because they are really, really important tools, actually, and really great hacks that you can get this stuff really easily. And they make a world of difference to the way that your room will look. And you don't just want your bog standard feature wall. You want some geometric shapes on your wall.
You do.
Get yourself some masking tape to do it.
See, I love that lovely little video of Clara Amfo, our ambassador for Colour of the Year, and I showed her the string and she was impressed, Steph.
Yeah,
she
didn't dismiss it. Everyone's impressed with something. That. Everyone's exactly. impressed. Yeah, I can imagine you do that at dinner parties. Well, not recently, it is, obviously.
It is my trick.
Oh dear, we've all been here too long, haven't we?
We have.
And the really important thing about all of these things that we're talking about, Marianne, is that actually none of these things take a huge amount of time, do they? But these things take a couple of hours, like a weekend at the very most. You know, these are very much weekend projects that they won't run into your week. You're not going to have a disorganized house for the next 5 days. You can move a couple of pieces of furniture around, get some Simply Refresh on the wall, get some of that wonderful frog tape on the wall, bish bash bosh, do a Jamie Oliver, get the paint on the wall, pull it off, jobs
are good. Invite all your mates for dinner.
Yeah. Geezer. Absolutely. This is, yeah, exactly that. These are really quick and simple ideas that can breathe life into a space regardless of your budget or your time.
Absolutely.
So we've talked a lot about colour on the wall and you've given us some fabulous hacks and things that we can find around the house to do that. What about colour on things? So if you were renting, for example, and you didn't have the time or the ability perhaps to put that paint on the wall, are there some things that you could do to inject some colour into your space a different way, Marianne?
Absolutely. I mean, I rented in before we moved here, which is somewhere we own and live now. We lived in a rented place for about 4 years. And I bought bits of furniture and I just painted them. And I upcycled bits of furniture that I've actually got with me now. And I painted them in a different colour here, but I could paint them in a different colour and just sort of add that real lovely sort of sense of self and personality to a room. I painted up picture frames, I painted up vases, big pots. And so all of that colour became portable and really instant. So I could do it with a tester pot. And it was just, it just adds your personality and stamp onto a space. And you can change it in the next space that you go, you know, because light qualities will change. But I think that's one of the easiest, simplest things to do. Vases, candlesticks, picture frames. And then you can chuck a load of paint onto a canvas and stick it on the wall. So you can... Paint is the transformer, not only in the house that you own, but in the houses that you might be in for just a short amount of time.
Yeah, and it's a really great and inexpensive way, as you say, of having colour in your home that you can then port somewhere else. So it becomes something that you can take with you and change as your needs change, which I think is really, really valuable. We have actually got a really great watercolour canvas video. So on our Dulux UK YouTube channel as well. So definitely check that out, because that is a really great way of adding some instant and quite designer touches to how you bring colour into your home. If you didn't have a piece of furniture, get a really big canvas from somewhere, you know, relatively cheap, you can get one, and have some fun with some paint. Do a bit of a Jackson Pollock and throw some paint around.
Yeah.
Make sure, you know, you haven't got like a cat or a dog that's going to get in the way. You don't want to paint them, or some kids. Or maybe you do, you know, who knows, get them involved. But that is a really great thing to be able to do. Just pop some colour on a canvas in a kind of watercolour way or in a Jackson Pollock-esque way and get it up and hang it in your home and be proud of that colour. Well, if that hasn't piqued your interest, then I'm not sure what will at this point. There are some fabulous hacks in there and some really great tips on how to inject a bit of colour into your home. So hope that's given you some inspiration on how you can add that brilliant effect to your space. Now, I am very excited about this. It is time for Colour Know-How, where we find out what our special guests have to say. And today we have got a brilliant double act for you. And I'm not referring to us. I should say.
At absolutely. Today, we're going to speak with Jonathan and Charlotte from the most recent series of Interior Design Masters, which we have been completely addicted to lately. We spoke to them about their experiences on the show, the highs, the lows, and what their plans are for the future.
And of course, we also wanted to know about their top tips for adding a bit of colour into homes to make that big impact we all crave. And we want the gossip, of course. Did I mention the gossip? So let's find out what they said.
Apart from being super fangirls and having watched your every move on Interior Design Masters, we thought it would be lovely to have people who've been there on our screens and to find out really a little bit about you, a little bit about your design practice, and what was it like?
Well, as Marianne's already teed up, we are huge fangirls. What we wanted to really understand is, how did you come to be on the show? Is it something that you were approached to do? Did you apply? And kind of what was your motivation? What did you kind of really want to get out of the show?
So mine was just a case of, I think I just kind of, you know, when the advert goes out sort of thing, that was circulating around Instagram and online. And I'd had a few people just kind of popping it in my DMs being like, you should apply, and other designers and things like that. And I was down living in Devon at the time. And I think it was near the deadline, and I just did an application. It was obviously last March, so right at the beginning, that sort of time around the first lockdown. So I thought, why not? Put my application in, and then had a call from, I think, one of the producers like that night or the following morning, and then it all became very real and went from there.
I was delivering a leadership development program as part of my career that I do, and part of that was to look at, to get leaders to look at their personal purpose. So why did they exist? What did they want to achieve? Mm-hmm. And we looked at the psychology of it. And there was a statistic that in the retired population, there are three things that they wish they could go back and do. And one of them was to have no regrets and be a bit more brave. And I've been training this out for quite a while and just had that moment of, do you know what? I can't remember the last time I did something really brave. Mm. I've been watching the show, series one, and I absolutely loved it and thought, do you know what? Since the age of seven, I've wanted to be an interior designer. Never knew how to get into it, didn't really know what to do. And thought, you know what? I'm going to phone them. So I phoned at the production company and said, you know, are you hiring for the show? Because I really love your show. And if I could try and apply for it, that'd be great. And they came back to me and said, actually, we're not at the moment, but, you know, give us a call in a couple of weeks because they may be doing something, not knowing how the process worked. And diarized, because I'm a little bit anal retentive. And in the 2 weeks, I was like, oh, I'll phone them, did it again. And they were like, we've still not made a decision, but we might know by Friday. I was like, okay, no problem. I'll just send you an email. I sent them an email and then got an email back. Said, if you'd like to apply, the applications are open. Fine. So Charlotte applied in the March. Yeah. This was October. Pre.
What, 2019? Wow.
Yeah, so I actually finished watching series one, and that's what happened. I finished watching series one and was just so...
How did I not know this?
Did you know what? I'm sure I said this.
No!
Filler and cushions or stuff. It wasn't time, Charlotte, it wasn't time. And that's how it started.
So the next question I want to ask is, what was it like going from normal life to being under the spotlight, literally in front of the cameras, under the scrutiny of Michelle and all of our design heroes and heroines? What was that like? What did that feel like? John?
I don't think I'd anticipated the volume of pressure that I was going to feel personally to deliver my absolute best all of the time, 24/7. Because I think when you're at work, you're on, aren't you, at work for the hours that you're there, and then you get to be yourself, your home self. Whereas with doing the show, meeting everybody, the way I've described it is, when you have best friends, you have best friends, you start, you know, however, wherever you meet them in your life, but you've got years to get to know them. And, you know, you then show your vulnerability to them, don't you? When, you know, you're at your worst. I'd never met Charlotte before. And, you know, the first time we all get to meet one another, we have to walk into a room together. We're being filmed by all these people. We don't know what anyone's going to say. And so we're vulnerable from that moment. And it's only now that the show has finished that we're all getting to build all of that long-term friendship that you'd normally have up front. It's very bizarre, very bizarre.
One of the things that I think is really interesting is you weren't on the screen for that long in the whole series, and yet I think the nation will never forget you, John. There's something about you, obviously have a presence that you didn't know. You were obviously born for this.
Thank you.
This is quite fun. Charlotte, tell us how that felt for you.
It was definitely a completely different experience to anything I'd done, obviously, previous. But in that sense of kind of being already in design, and it was kind of a natural progression. Obviously, my background's in textiles and surface patterns, so it kind of, one of the reasons, going back to obviously the other question, is I applied is because I really wanted to kind of push myself and kind of go to that next stage. And I've been on sets and things like that, and I just really wanted to design whole spaces and different environments. So that's kind of the reason I applied. But it's like John said, you can't, it's one of those, it's annoying because people say they've done TV or anything like this, say, oh, you kind of, you don't know until you've experienced it. But it is just mad, and it's like a pressure cooker. And I think everyone's running on adrenaline, but at the same time, camera side and things like that, I kind of forgot they were there, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. And I think, like you said, because I've had certain experiences before with doing trade shows and things like that, I would just treat it kind of the same. Whereas I think TV is a little bit different because you can be kind of literally working away and slaving away in the background doing a project. But if you're not kind of talking to the camera and being upbeat and explaining what you're doing, it sometimes doesn't come across like that. So I think we've just both learned so many things about TV and how that works, because it is different to anything I've certainly ever done before, and kind of the normal design world, if that makes sense.
As we were watching it, both Steph and I were amazed and impressed about how much stuff you actually did yourself, because, you know, an interior designer isn't meant to, you know, build a chair and kind of like scroll. It just, I mean, we do, you know, that's what people do. But that was extraordinary. It was lovely to see. And we put up loads of tips on it. Charlotte, particularly, I'm going to do your beautiful gesso. I just cannot wait to have a play with that kind of thing. So it was wonderful, inspiring stuff. Now we want to know a bit about the dirt. I just want to know the gossip, or even what was the worst moment you just thought? I mean, apart from obviously John being robbed.
I'm being really honest. The worst moment for me was actually, it wasn't during the filming. It was at home, and it was hotels week, and it's actually around the curtains. So I'd never made curtains before. And I had, my windows were a 359 width by a 400 drop.
So scarred.
So we had both the kind of massive rooms.
So we had the corner one. So I had two of those windows. I had to make lined flame retardant curtains. So each curtain panel was 2.5 drops of the material that I'd got, which was 40 meters of material. And I had got that stretched out in my lounge. However, I did it, and there was a moment where I was in my lounge with the material, because we're allowed to do 50% of the making. If we're doing two things, we can make half of it pre the show as part of our preparation. So that's why you only ever see really us, if you normally think, gosh, how did you do all of that? As long as there's more than one thing, we can do 50% beforehand. So I'd made one of our curtains. And I was just in my lounge, and I said to my partner, I don't know if when I become an interior designer, I don't know how I'm going to manage to keep this momentum going. Because my lounge, I'd got the king size bed that I was half upholstering. I'd got the curtains, the length of my lounge. I'd got furniture drying in the kitchen. And messaging Charlotte, also trying to say to the group that we were in, this is the material I've chosen, by the way, don't choose the same material. They were probably all laughing, going, you're not going to be choosing that, don't worry. And you just sit there and you think, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? How can I sustain this? And that for me was quite a low point, because it just felt unimaginably anything that I could cope with.
Charlotte, what was your lowest moment?
It's difficult because it sounds like we're moaning, and obviously there are so many amazing parts. But for me, I think mine are probably twofold. two moments where I think I was literally like physically exhausted. Like no one on that show is, you know, we all work crazily hard, and just to deliver like what we deliver in the time frames and stuff, that's what creates the drama. But I think one in actually week one, we were doing it in Oxford in that heat wave in the summer, so it's 36 degrees. It was me and you, John, wasn't it? Our vans didn't have aircon and everyone else had aircon, and I'd driven there from London and I felt like I'd literally been in a greenhouse on the motorway, so I wasn't feeling that well. And then we have to unpack all the vans and stuff, and they just kind of filmed us, and so that's kind of like moving house, all the lifting, getting everything in. I think I just nearly, like, with the heat and stuff, and after lugging all this, I had all these big mirrors and stuff like that they didn't show in my dressing room and things, and just lugging everything around. And I just at one point sat in the back of my van just in the shade trying to just kind of cool down, because I just was so overheated. And I thought, oh my god, and I nearly fainted a couple of times because it was just so hot, like in 36 degrees. I don't even like that on holiday, let alone trying to work in it, let alone trying to do physical work in it. So that was difficult, and I was like, this is a lot. I don't even care what I look like on camera. I'm just trying to cope. Because I remember I tried to put a bit of makeup on the first day, and I got on set at like 8 a.m. and it already just melted off my face. So it was just crazy. And you think, oh, stuff it, you know, whatever.
It sounds really, really grueling, actually. And, you know, particularly because you're working on all of those designs like at the same time. You know, we don't get to see any of that.
Have you got a top tip? Because our listeners are all decorating divas and they're dying to hear a top tip from Charlotte and John.
So if I'm with a client, I'll definitely ask them about maybe heirlooms they have or favourite artworks or something like that. And then use that maybe as inspiration for a room scheme. One of my prized possessions, which would have been my other kind of colour moment, is a small little bright persimmon orange glass vase that used to be my grandma's. Completely inexpensive, but it's just my absolute pride and joy. And bright persimmon orange is my favourite pop of colour in a scheme. So not necessarily on all the walls, but with accessories or a bit of upholstery. So I would say the best thing to do is kind of shop your home whilst we're all at home. Go around and find something maybe you've forgotten about, something in the loft, a really lovely maybe a little artwork or a print or a ceramic, and look at the colours within that. Maybe not the kind of initial colors you see, but maybe in some of the details, and take inspiration from that and what you're drawn to, and think about how you could use that as paint colors or painting furniture or something like that to make those connections. And then you can kind of bring it out and use it in the space as well. And I think if you're choosing that item for the colors and that reason, you're gonna like the paint colors because you were drawn to that piece originally for a certain reason.
Mine is attic based, I guess, or thinking up, despite what you see on my walls here and my ceiling, I'm kind of into at the moment flipping that around and making the ceiling the wall that you would normally paper and the walls the plain bit. I think when I did the show home, I think the transformation piece for me was about taking the stuff up the wall and onto the ceiling. And the more I look at it, I had a client recently when I was looking at the room that they were wanting to change, they had these beautiful floor-to-ceiling doors out into the garden, which was very lush and very green. And I literally looked at it and thought, how on earth do you top that? You can't really top that, because that in itself is absolutely stunning. So rather than detract from it, why don't you take it onto the ceiling so that when you walk into the room, what you do get is that beautiful vista outside. And then when you sit down, you go, oh, okay, I wasn't ready for that. And I just think that you could do that in any room, even if it's a toilet that you've got downstairs, make the toilet downstairs in your house the statement. Go wild, because if you don't like it, it's the smallest room, so you can literally change it. But just have that bravery to do that.
Well, you've made us so happy, because we've got to see and talk to you, you know, and get some fantastic top tips. And you are so colourful, so cheerful. You've brightened up our screens and you've really made us happy. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much from Steph and I. And hopefully we'll meet in person again soon.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much for inviting. It's been
great. Let's make an event just so we can sit and chat.
Oh, Oh, I loved speaking with those guys. There was such a talented bunch across the whole show. But I think we did have a bit of a soft spot for them, didn't we?
We did. We did. really lovely chat. And thanks so much to Charlotte and John for speaking with us and giving us all the goings on from behind the scenes. We always love a bit of behind the scenes gossip, don't we? Well, Marianne, it is time for you to slip on your white jacket and lend your ears to The Nation as we move on to one of my favourite parts of the podcast. It is the bit where we ask our very own Doctor of Decorating, Marianne, to prescribe the antidotes for your DIY ailments. So, Marianne, are you ready for today's decorating dilemmas?
Steph, I'm always ready.
Always ready. So our first question is from Catherine, and this has come to us via our Instagram account. So thank you, Catherine, for sending in your question. Today, she has a question for you about upcycling a desk in her home office space. So here is her question. I have made myself some space in a spare room for a work area as I don't have a space for an office room. I have an old dressing table that I never use, so I wanted to turn that into a desk instead to save a bit of money. Can you help me with how I go about painting it, please, and perhaps some advice on colours?
I love the idea of turning a dressing table into a desk. That's a really good idea. Well, prep is everything. And so what you need to do is make sure that the desk is nice and clean. And you need to give it a very, very light sand with some very, very fine sandpaper just to key the surface. And you need to use a good primer, a good primer undercoat. And I would use a quick drying primer undercoat, apply it with a roller so you can get that on really, really quickly. Let that dry. Give it another little light sand because you might have dogs and cats and all sorts of things. So you might get rid of some hairy bits, you know, once it's dry. Give that light sand, get rid of the dust, and then apply two coats of quick drying eggshell satin or gloss. And it simply is as simple as that. And I would suggest when you're applying that paint, use a combination of a really good quality little small acrylic brush. So you could use a 1-inch acrylic brush full of fiddly bits, and then use a really good quality small radiator roller with a gloss roller. We call them gloss rollers. So if you go into a decorator's merchant or a DIY shop, ask them for a glossing roller, and that will give you the most gorgeous finish.
And what about any suggestions on colour for Catherine, Marianne? What might you be thinking are some really nice colours that we could use from the range?
I am absolutely in love with a colour called Willow Tree at the moment, and you can get that. You can pick that up in a quick drying satin wood. You just take that straight off the shelf, and it's like a breath of fresh air. It really is a perfect colour for spring. And I think when you're sitting down to work all day, it's nice having a dark colour, but there's something about that lightness of touch because you're stuck at home and to reconnect you with nature. So I'm a real fan of Willow Tree. And if you wanted something really simple, nice and light, and will work with everything, I would probably try Polished Pebble.
Yeah, always a great suggestion. Polished Pebble is a lovely kind of calming grey colour, isn't it? So blend in with everything. I think that would be a really great choice. The other thing I was going to add to this as well, which is something I've done in my own home, Catherine, which I hope you find useful, is I have upcycled a unit that I now use in my bathroom, and I've put a sink unit on the top. And I found this kind of vintage piece of furniture. It's not proper vintage, it's not expensive, but it had that kind of very vintagey feel, and I just loved it. And when we were doing a bathroom extension, I wanted to use that as part of the sink unit. So I painted it up, and because the bathrooms are going to be, watery, and there's going to be water marks all over, and perhaps an office space will be somewhere that, you'll put drinks down or you'll have your cup of tea, and you don't want to mark that surface that you've just spent ages trying to get right. I actually added a glass worktop to the top of that vanity unit, just so that it makes it a lot more hard wearing and you can wipe it clean a lot more easily. So definitely that's something to investigate if that's something that you wanted to keep looking really good for a long time. Just make sure you get properly toughened glass in order to do that.
I love that, Steph. I love it.
Yeah, well, definitely a good thing to recycle furniture because, it's perfectly good furniture. Then why would you buy something new? Another great tip is if you are using a part of a room in which to put this new unit or new desk area, then have a think about some of those things we talked about earlier in the episode. So have a think about maybe a painted arch or a colour blocking effect. And the good thing for you is we've got some really fantastic videos on this on the Dulux YouTube channel as well, both on painting a desk and also painted arches and other effects that you can do. So definitely do go and check those out. So really hope that's answered your question, Catherine. Do let us know how you get on. Are you ready for another, Marianne?
I am. Fire away.
So this is another great question, and this time it is from Ed, and he is from Lancashire. He has a query about painting the outside of his house. Mm. I'm thinking about painting the outside of my terraced house, but it is a big job and I don't want to get it wrong. What advice can you give me?
Well, I think it's very ambitious. The first thing I would do is kind of consider your neighbours. Before you start painting anything in any colour, consider your neighbours. What is the kind of like look of your street? And whatever colour you choose, make sure that it's going to kind of like fit in with the street really nice. So you're going to love it, but your neighbours are going to love it too. So because you don't want to fall out with your neighbours. So once you've considered your neighbours, Ed, I would say, Ed, life is too short. Get a decorator in, because there's ladders involved. You're going to have to go up on a ladder and it's dangerous. So definitely get a professional involved if you've never done it before, because it is a massive job. I mean, you could tackle all the downstairs reachable things, but when it comes to ladder work, you need to get a professional in to do that. Another thing as well, choose the right paint. So choose a really good quality guaranteed paint. Dulux Weather Shield, all weather protection, smooth masonry paint. It's absolutely gorgeous to use. It goes on really beautifully. And it's guaranteed as well. So it comes with a Dulux guarantee. And I would definitely, you know, there's no point spending loads and loads of time, loads and loads of money, and just putting cheap paint on, because it's got to last. It's got to last at least 10 years.
Absolutely. So we will put the details of those products and the Weather Shield promise onto the show notes so that you have all of the information there, Ed. The other thing that I was just going to add is on a colour front, I know it's really tempting in this scenario to just kind of go with something that's fairly neutral and something that you're possibly a bit more familiar with, you know, like your magnolias of the world. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But if you did want to go with something that's possibly a really nice alternative, then maybe think about some of the sort of more paler grey tones or off-white. So there's a lovely colour in the Dulux Weather Shield range called Ashen White for masonry. And it is a really lovely pale grey. So definitely branch out and get a bit, you know, brave within reason, so you don't fall out with your neighbours. And of course, my top tip is always get a tester to make sure that colour is absolutely what you are thinking that it will be when you put it on the wall, because that's the last thing that you want, is to paint your house fully and then realise you don't like it. So do think about getting that tester, Ed. Let us know how you get on.
I was just going to add to that, it's colour on the outside of your house. It's in the sunshine or in the light all the time. And so it looks completely different. So that tester tip is fantastic stuff. Get a tester.
Yeah, absolutely. Always get a tester. So fantastic. Well, thank you, Ed, for your question. And let us know how you get on. But sadly, that does bring us towards the end of the show. Thank you so much, Dr. Dulux, I should have said before we move on. But sadly, we are almost finished with the show, and it always goes so fast when we're having so much fun, doesn't it?
I know, but there is a tiny bit more. To end the show, we always have a feel-good colour moment, and this one is from our lovely interior design masters.
Have either of you got a story, a little anecdote that you can share with us where colour made all the difference to your day?
So mine, mine is the colour that I'm wearing now. So I love blue, and I really love a deep dark blue that's almost, if you were going to taste blue, it would taste like a really fat red wine. Like that's the kind of blue, you can just feel it. And for me, blue makes me feel really confident. And I always find whenever I wear something blue, I hold myself differently and I actually view myself differently as well. And I found that it kind of creeps into a fair bit of interiors that I do to use blue, which is bizarre because if you look at the three episodes I was in, it only featured in the last one. But when I've looked back over mood boards and over clients and even in my own home, blue is quite a strong feature. And there's something, I think it's quite a classic colour, but I think it's also really edgy because you can, you know, you can take a shade of blue that could almost be black on the look of it, and it just gives that, you could go antique with it, you could go really edgy with it. There's just something, I think it's such a beautiful color. And sadly, what you didn't see in the show in episode one is me going into Charlotte's room Although you did see me going in, but you didn't see the conversation that we had. And I was asking her about her blue because I honestly fell in love with it because it was just such a beautiful blue. So yeah, I'd have to say blue is my colour.
Oh, I've got loads. I think kind of sunset time of the day. So it's not really one specific sunset. It's more just that period of time for me. So to stick out is I'm from Norfolk originally, and Norfolk gets the most insane sunsets, I think, because it's really flat and they just light up the sky and they're kind of like these Kenyan bright orange sunsets. So that really peachy coral orange tone of a Norfolk sunset. And then spending 2 years, I used to live in Devon for 2 years, like I mentioned earlier, and we live by the water and we would just get these lilac-y pink, you know, bluey sunsets. And I just think any spectrum of sunset colour is just kind of my happy place.
Absolutely lovely. Really, really lovely. Well, thank you guys. Yeah.
No problem. Take care.
So
bye.
Oh, I loved hearing those. What a fab note to end the show on. That brings us to the end of the show, people. So if you enjoyed the show, then please keep us going and hit that subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. And of course, do feel free to leave us a review. We really do love hearing your feedback.
It's been so lovely having you along, and thank you for listening. And do join us again for more
Let's Colour! Ha ha!